The following program has adult language and potentially tons and tons of spoilers. Listener beware.
So now we're moving on to Super Skrull, which is by Javier Grillo Marxu. What the fuck? Where's my Latino? Latino, know, can you read that?
I don't know, dude. I can't.
Javier Grillo.
Why do you even try their names?
Marxuach. Well, we mostly. I'll insert it in there.
Javier Grillo Marxuach.
One more time.
Marxuach?
No, I'm saying say that one more time.
Javier Grillo Marxuach.
Okay. I just want to have a clear one.
That is Grillo hyphen Marxuach. That's some Aztec stuff.
I'm going to see if I can't find like a YouTube video where he says his own goddamn name and just plug it into that spot.
So my name's Javier Grillo Marxuach.
Javier Grillo Marxuach.
Javier Grillo Marxuach. Who is award-winning creator of television, movies, comics, books, and interactive media. Javi's perhaps best known for his work as an Emmy Award-winning writer-producer of Lost, for creating the comic book and ABC family television series The Middleman, working on shows that were existing at the time that he joined them, everything from Charlie's Angels, Medium, The Pretender, Charmed, The Chronicle, Sequest, Jake 2.0.
Javier Grillo Marxuach. There we go. It's very hard to pronounce. I thought it was Grillo Marxuach. Yeah,
okay.
Well. There are a lot of all of these colorists, Chris Sotomayor.
I'm not getting into fucking colorists.
I'm saying it's a very diverse cast of.
And the artist is Greg Titus. The Skrulls are a race of shapeshifters that have conquered most of the Andromeda Galaxy, but are currently in a state of disarray. The Super Skrull, a scientifically superpowered alien with the abilities of all the Fantastic Four combined, becomes aware of the Annihilation Wave's destructive path through the Skrull Empire and their planet-destroying weapon, the Harvester of Sorrow. Super Skrull and Rakin, a child mechanic, find a portal into the negative zone and begin their journey to discover the Harvester of Sorrow's weakness. But time is running out as the Harvester of Sorrow closes in on Zaragsna, the Skrull world upon which the Super Skrull's son lives. Super Skrull and Rakin invade the UX-73 prison planetoid to find Hawal and raise an army against the Wave. The invasion is a success. Hawal gives up the Harvester's secrets. Newly emancipated prisoners Praxagora, a member of a robotic race, and Preak, a creature who multiplies, have joined Super Skrull's cause. Praxagora discovers that Super Skrull's son, Sarnog, resides on Zaragsna. Super Skrull has found the importance of family amidst the devastation of war. He spurns Praxagora's romantic advances, and they ready themselves for battle against the Harvester. The Super Skrull's army battles valiantly against the Harvester of Sorrow, but their secret weapon never arrives. Zaragsna and its people die, and Super Skrull is captured. Rakin has betrayed them all. Super Skrull swears revenge. Fix, what'd you think of Super Skrull?
Ouch. Artwork was horrible. The story, of course, as we've been doing lately now with the series, is it's a build-up. The weird part of this build-up is, spoiler, they kill the character at the end. Or they build a statue to him. We don't know if he dies. I mean, it was pretty good for, I guess, he's trying to redeem himself. I mean, he keeps bringing up the point how he gets his ass whipped every so often by the Fantastic Four. And his name is almost synonymous with defeat. And everyone looks down on him. And you feel bad for the character. But then when you're reading his internal dialogue, you're kind of like, well, I see his drive. And then you see the people around him and they're all like, well, he's scum. You know, he's a villain. It's Super Skrull. I mean, I don't think I've ever read anyone write him. Where he was a
three-dimensional character, right?
Yeah.
He's just been stock villain number 9,600.
Yeah, well, I mean, right? He just, you know, yeah. Hits you with a rock arm, stretches his arm, fire, 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 and then they beat him up at the end. Yeah, I'm waiting to see what that... If I remember correctly, they do some cool stuff with him in Annihilation, but I'm ready to reread that to see if what I remember correctly. Because so far, no.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was pretty good. Again, the art was just really, really bad. Really bad. And so, you know, it kind of starts out where he... How does he even hook up with the dumb fucking kid? The story starts out with Super Skrull watches the planet get destroyed. Then he decides that he needs some help. So he goes, he seeks out a big-time warship in the Skrull Empire, tries to convince the head captain that this is what they need to do. She needs to break loose of whatever foothold she has in her sector. We got to go wrangle up a posse and try and fight off Annihilus's Wave. And she's like, no, you're going to go find somebody else to do it. I'm comfortable where I'm at. This is sort of my deal. Fix It sort of foreshadowed that...
Thank you.
They don't really have... The Super Skrull doesn't have this pull that he used to have. And he even calls himself an old warhorse in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's sort of old school Skrull, but he's kind of a joke. As a warlike race, your whole rep is sort of tied to how many battles you've won. And Super Skrull ain't had a lot of success, as we all know. And I like they didn't try and BS like he is some great warrior, because yeah. We've all read Super Skrull. He just gets busted up all the time. So
this is a guy who got a start in like the first year and a half of Fantastic Four, taking on the entire team by himself. In the early 90s, I remember he's fighting like Namor and Iron Fist and losing to these
guys. Yeah, and he's just getting his ass whipped by everybody because he's got the combined powers of the lamest super family in all of comicdom. Ooh, ouch, sorry. Anyway, I did like they keep doing that. So as he's on this ship and he's getting rejected and he's like, you know what, to hell with it. I think he actually says to hell with it, and he literally just punches the captain chick in the dome.
It's worth mentioning, I don't know if you mentioned this, but the captain of the ship started just mocking him.
Oh, yeah.
Just tearing him apart, like, you're nothing, you're a loser, fuck off, I'm not going to listen to you. And he pops her in the mouth and she says, sends everybody to kill
him. Which I thought was awesome, because I'm like, he literally busts her in the face. And her face is, like, all bloody and is like, get this dude. And he was like, bring it, you know. So he trashes the ship. And as the ship's exploding and everything, he jumps into one of the escape pods that's piloted by, what is this?
We're going to call him Rick. Yeah, I can remember Rick. Close enough.
Well, I think they said Rakim.
He's a little kid.
Rakim, but he ain't no joke, I guess.
Dude,
no, he's got, like, they're like Oshkosh overalls. He's really terrible.
I thought he was sad.
I don't know where the editors were to tell this guy, look, no, he's a goofy, childlike mechanic on this ship.
But he's still from a warrior race.
He shouldn't be in goofy overalls. He's so out of place in this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was dumb. But anyway, you kind of get over that.
Well, but that's something they've kind of done with them. I remember reading the Leighton Hercules miniseries, and there was a character who was dissimilar from that, you know, who kind of just ran around in overalls or kind of workman clothes and hung out with Hercules. He was like abstained from a lot of the warlike stuff, and he was just chilling with Hercules in the far future. So,
well, it's weird. So that he saves him, says, "Oh, I'm a huge fan of yours, Super Skrull. My father fought with you in this battle and that battle." And that, you know, that's great. So they kind of become buddy-buddy-ish. Of course, the kid, they decide they need to go to Earth, talk to Mr. Fantastic, because they want to get into the Negative Zone.
Yeah, they can't go through the Annihilation Fleet to go to the Negative Zone to investigate the Annihilation Fleet. So the only person who could get them to the Negative Zone without them dying horribly was Reed Richards.
Created
the first portal to get into the Negative Zone.
And Reed Richards is like, you know what, dude, you're a bad guy, but I kind of understand what you're going through. So bam, you're going to the Negative Zone. So he and this little kid go through the Negative Zone. They're going through and they're sort of kicking ass on some of these Annihilus troops. They're kind of sneaking behind the lines. He starts torturing these dudes to find out who created the... What's the name of the major weapon? I'm blanking.
Oh, the Harvester of Sorrows.
Who created the Harvester of Sorrows? How do I destroy it? Yada, yada, yada. So anyway, this little kid was sort of like guarding outside of a door and he heard struggling. Instead of watching the door like he was supposed to, he decides to come through the door and he witnesses Super Skrull just straight up torturing this guy.
Well, gets the information he wants and then kills him anyway.
The
kid didn't see the honor in that.
And the kid's like, where's the honor? And he was like, well, where's the honor in them destroying entire planets? There is none. Look, dude, this is war. You gotta chill out. That's where we kind of get the first inkling that this whole hero image that this kid mechanic has is starting to kind of get dashed in his mind. The rest of the book sort of travels through as Super Skrull runs through these ships and these prisons trying to find the creator of the Harvester of Sorrows to develop a way to destroy it. And in the end, he gets...
Which, because it's organic, ends up being a virus.
Right, yeah. So they need to create a virus to then implant into the Harvester of Sorrows, which will destroy it. I mean, it's a pretty good little caper story. I mean, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I thought it was kind of... I did have some problems with it. I did think it was kind of lame that he just tortures a few guys and finds out exactly the prison where the guy who has the key to destroy this entire plan is.
Well, not the plan, just the ship.
Just the weak part on one of the Harvester of Sorrows.
And it's not the only one they have like that, from understanding, too. I think it's one of the ships.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's right, because he was only trying to stop that one because it was about to blow up the planet.
Other objective while in the Negative Zone was to also sort of create a band of mercenaries to help him accomplish this task, because he knew he couldn't do it on his own. So while he's inside jacking up this prison, a bunch of the prisoners that get released, they're also individuals that were the last of their race, that the Harvester of Sorrows mm-hmm. had destroyed their planet, so they were captured, and the scientists who helped create the Harvester of Sorrows did all these whack Dr. Mengele-style experiments on them, so they all hate these guys, so of course they will join after Super Skrull busts them up, and they're like, you know what, dude, that's right, we're joining with you, let's go get these dudes. And one of the characters, what is her name?
Pradaxa or something.
Of course they couldn't make it easy on me.
Mm-mm.
Which one? Oh, the female android? Yeah.
Praxagora.
Praxagora? Thanks a lot, guys. She's going to be real memorable. Mm-hmm. So you sort of kind of get this hinting of a relationship between her. She's got this... Oh,
master and...
Right.
Soldier, yeah.
Right.
Was that kind of a Stockholm Syndrome kind of?
I
was
going to
say
that,
but I don't know
if that's... It's not
really, no.
Well, I mean, there is the whole thing, the old trope, too, it's a terrible trope, is she's the main one who... Okay, the guys who are released from the prison, they want Dr. Mengele, and that's what we're going to call him, because fuck this alien bullshit.
Yeah.
Super Skrull, since he needs information from the doctor, is between these prisoners and the doctor. So he gets into a fight with these guys. The main one he fights is the girl. He beats the girl, and because he's proved his mettle to her and dominated her, she falls for him, yep. Which is really fucking icky. I'm going to actually be a defender of this series by the time we're done with it. But I liked so much of the series, and then that happens, and it's like... Those are some fucked up gender politics there. But she ends up falling for him, tries to kiss face with him, and he's like, fuck off, bitch. I'm
and
here to do my thing.
Literally socks her across, which yeah. is the second female he has straight up beat down in this series. Which, I thought was... I mean, it's not cool. There's nothing cool about that, but I thought that was really cool.
I didn't like that because I didn't understand why any of these characters were doing that stuff. That's one subplot I really did not need, even though I know it plays into the final resolution of the story. But also, it was cool when the girl got her face blown off in the Annihilation special. But then to have another somewhat misogynistic moment in the midst of the same event, it's like, I could have done without that.
Different writer, though.
Different writer, but still, it's like, you know, whenever you have people start bitching about that kind of stuff... It's easy as a bunch of guys who are writing for a bunch of guys to not see that kind of shit. And sometimes you need somebody from the outside to go, hey, it's fucked up that you blew that shit. You know, that you're battering this woman and she loves it. She loves this guy for battering her. He even said something like, at first I was mad, but then I realized I loved him more. That was the one I loved him the most of all.
I totally agree. I picked up on that too. I'm like, man, he's busting her up. And the more he beats her up and pushes her away, the more she loves him. I'm like, that's kind of icky.
That was oiling her joints.
That's
for
a
sure.
Weird. So yes, that was weird. But let's face it, this book doesn't go deep enough to really have to... I mean, this takes place... this is quote-unquote four issues, but there's literally maybe two issues of dialogue here.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of splash pages of stuff exploding. So it's not like this is like an ongoing series of him treating this woman poorly. It's two issues. You know what I mean?
It's really just like three moments, really,
right?
Between those two characters. Major moments.
So that brings us to the ending, which I thought was weird. And that is, they've hatched this plan to blow up the
Harvester
of Sorrows. They create a machine that will kind of duplicate
Reed Richards. It's like a viral delivery system.
Right. And the key is the little overall kid, Rakim, Eric being Rakim, he is like, I want to pilot the ship. And Super Skrull's like, whoa, that's like the most important job. He's like, well, you know, I'm just a mechanic. I'm not a real Skrull until I've fought in battle.
But he does make a point of saying that he is the best pilot. That,
right.
You know, his mechanical finesse means that he's going to be able to work this shit right where he needs to go.
So Super Skrull's like, you know what, kid? Oh, and another thing we should probably mention, that the Super Skrull's whole motivation, because obviously he don't like the Skrulls no more, it's that he has a son who's on their main planet, and that's where the Harvester of Sorrows is going.
So and you figure there's probably a little projection there, too. It's like he's,
Right. So, okay. So that was a small but kind of large detail. I had to get that out of the way. So this kid is like, I'm going to pilot the ship. Everything's going to be super duper okay. So they beam through this wormhole or whatever it is to get to this Harvester of Sorrows. They wipe out the forces. Everything's going great, except the virus never shows up. And it doesn't show up because Overall Kid betrayed them all.
It turned out his dad had been killed in a battle.
He was killed in the battle.
And he wanted revenge and he wanted profit and fuck the Skrulls.
Right. Basically exactly right. So,
and of course, in typical comic book fashion, this is explained while he's still in the room, while an incredibly powerful being is tied up and is going to presumably find some way of getting revenge on the kid.
Right. So, of course, Super Skrull goes, oh, I've got one more power you don't know about. Hypnotizes the kid into letting them all loose, and then of course he wrecks everybody. because that's just, well, I can't stand it when stuff like this happens. Commodore was like, okay, we've written our way into a corner. What do? We got to create a new power. Quick.
Well, actually, I think that was probably done in a previous story, and they just pulled that one forgotten power out of his ass. Because he was actually in, this is one instance where they gave you the bio page in the book. And because I actually enjoyed this miniseries, it's one of the ones I've liked the best, in fact, I read the bio portion, and they did mention the hypnosis. So they did set that up. If no other place, it was in the biography page for Super Scroll.
Was that an updated
issue.
Or?
It was in the first issue, if I recall correctly. Because in place of a letters column, they have these Nova Corps databases. And the very first issue, they have the Super Scroll.
But I'm saying, if you were
and
to
under
go back.
Powers, they mention Super Scroll has also displayed hypnotic abilities. And I do think. You know, back in the 60s, everybody fucking pulled hypnosis out of their butts. All the characters. I think Reed Richards hypnotized the Skrulls to make them believe that they were cows so that he could imprison them on Earth. So hypnosis was a thing in the 60s, and I'm confident, despite not having read a story with Silver Skrull using it, I'm confident it was there.
Okay, well then that makes it a little better, I guess. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the Super Skrull did.
But once again, this is supposed to be something that people are going to
obsess. Parlor tricks. I didn't realize he did that. So, anyway, so he gets out, and they're, you know, the only way to blow up the thing now is that they're going to pull another thing out of their ass, and it's this love interest chick whose name I can't pronounce. But apparently, she can sacrifice herself because she's got some whack energy inside of her.
I think that she's supposed to be powered by a star
that's compressed
inside of her robotic body, and that if she wants to, she can unleash all that.
And you're losing
and by unleashing
me
it,
like the book lost me. Keep going.
Okay. If my understanding is that she can unleash all that power at once, but in order to do that, she's going to rupture and blow up her robot body.
She
does instead is that the Super Skrull decides he's going to make the ultimate sacrifice. He kisses her. He can absorb an unlimited amount of power from what he said, which makes sense again because if you got Johnny Storm going supernova, you have to explain that away. So he absorbs all the power that she's going to burst with. She's left with enough power to get pushed through an outer lock and survive. And then he blows up himself, supposedly, from what we can tell, and blows up the Harvester of Souls with it, Sorrows with it.
So then at the very last page of the book, or I should say the last, let's say, page and a half, she says he will become... So obviously she has survived because they're showing a panel of her still alive. He became something to which we must all aspire. He became a hero. And they show the Skrull home planet with a giant Super Skrull statue. And then, okay, so then, and this was something that... Okay, I'll come back to that.
No body, no death. We just have to address
but
that.
It even says Annihilation Day plus, what is that, T300. Mm-hmm. So now we're 300 days
past the... We're almost a year out
from...
We're
a year past. Yeah. Well, this isn't even... And this is the end. Mm-hmm. Instead of continuing...
Well, you're not going to continue with Super Skrull, apparently.
I guess not. But I just thought it was a really weird end that... I understand that he made
a sacrifice... Well, just because you've been trained that everything's going to lead into Annihilation number one, except the book with Super Skrull since he's fucking dead.
I guess he did. But I just thought that was weird that why would you flash forward 300 days before the entire series has wrapped up yet? Like, isn't that the whole point of the series? It's a very good possibility the universe could end?
Let's face it, we know that the event isn't going to end with the entire universe being destroyed.
Yeah.
The question is, what shit is going to get fucked up before they wrap it up?
True.
So then the other question I had was that at some point they show like a picture of his son.
Melty?
Oh, yeah. What was he having a battle. It was his opportunity to show his prowess, and so he kills some dude, and he's wallowing in the blood of the dude that he killed, and
Super Skrull's
having to watch from afar because he's gone through a divorce and the wife doesn't want him anywhere near the kid anymore.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
He's talking about there's a scene where literally the face of a kid is melting.
Oh, because that's representational, though. That's that he's assuming that his son has died on this planet and he's imagining his son... And he's imagining his son being killed. It's like the Sarah Connor dream from T2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Everyone turns into dust.
Yeah. I can see where your criticism comes for the artwork because there is a definite lack of dimension. These are not three-dimensional figures. These are drawings on a page, and the coloring doesn't do it any favors because there's a certain flatness. I look at this art, and I associated it very much with 80s black-and-white books like Troll Lords and Fish Police, where it's guys that were interesting for independent books, but they weren't ready for prime time. They didn't belong on a Marvel book. So I have that cognitive dissonance because of the prejudices I bring into it, because of the books I've read and how long I've been reading. But I actually really enjoyed looking at the art. I enjoyed the pages.
Really?
I enjoyed the character designs. I liked that it had some life to it. After reading Silver Surfer, which was such a dead book to me, it was just so flat and fake and this one had pizzazz. I enjoy those character designs. I like the duck guy. I like the robot girl. I like all that stuff. It reminded me of guys like Von Bode. It reminded me of all that kind of stuff. And I kind of liked those elements being in the book. And there's an artist that I commissioned a lot at the conventions who draws kind of like this. And
Mac
hates that artist too. So at least he's consistent.
Hey, consistent. We're all good.
No, I enjoyed the artwork. And one thing I'd like too is you say that the book has the end.
So cheesy, dude. Yeah. This is so. I'm pointing to a panel that nobody can see because this is. But this is just like, it's one of those shots as the kid's got a gun, and he's doing that streak across the panel while he's firing the guns. You have the cascade of shells going everywhere.
Even though it looks like it's a laser pistol.
Super, I know, but right, like, there's, why are there shells? It's super duper lame. And that's what I, again, so far, in every single one of these four-part series, there has been some just dumb cliche.
I think a lot of these books would have worked better if it was part of a larger series, like maybe a 9-issue series, and you got maybe 2 books for each series to kind of...
Or every character gets an issue to kind of tell like their side story.
And maybe they intertwine a little bit where you can see it, because
all of these, you're stretching these into four, but you're having to stretch to get these into 4 books, where these could have been just like thick one-shots.
Mm-hmm, true.
Easy could have just been thick one-shots.
Pretty much all of them, yeah. My main defense of this book, you were talking about how this is the one that has the end at the end of it. This is a fairly complete story. They give you a good character study of the Super Skrull. They give you motivation. I think there's a decent... I think it's a fairly good character study.
It does show his guilt, and he's the old war horse, and he's disrespected. He's looked as a farce by his own people. I totally get that. I totally get that.
So I like that you have the character study. I liked that this is one of the first books where we got to spend enough time with the Annihilation Wave insect warriors that... They mean something to me. The Ravenous didn't do a thing for me in the Silver Surfer story, but this Commander Sallow or whatever it is, I remember it in part because of the old jacked up film. But I like that. I like the design of the alien invaders, the Annihilation Wave in the book. I like that they're insectoid, but they were still caricatured in such a way that they had a bit more personality to them, and I could identify individuals in that group where before they were just a bunch of random.
Horde.
And even though the book, the script is definitely cliched, there are so many war movies from the 60s that are exactly like this. It's very kind of a Dirty Dozen kind of thing. But there was just enough to the characters to where I was... While I wasn't invested in them, I was interested in whether they lived and died. I was interested in what they were going to do as a group. It was tropey, but it was tropey in a way that entertained me. And where so many of the other miniseries don't feel like they give you a complete story, I got a complete story here. It wasn't the most original story, but I enjoyed the art. I enjoyed that it fleshed out everybody at least enough to where they were able to entertain me on that basic level that some of these books were so inept that they couldn't even do that. Whereas I stand apart from you guys, I did enjoy the artwork. I can definitely see the flaws. I really do wish there was a greater sense of depth. This guy didn't really work on anything else, too. This is about the only thing he did aside from a few odds and sods. But I enjoyed... It had a pizzazz to it. It had a flair that I could appreciate. And some of these miniseries have been kind of a slog that I just enjoyed finding pleasure in one of the books. I might have just been an easy mark because I was looking to be entertained, and it did enough to entertain me.
Yeah, I mean, I can see... I think you started off saying that, you know, this is still just sort of build-up. In a way, this is not build-up to anything. There's no...
Well, it gives you... Well, for starters, you have collateral. You have an issue where people are dying from this. This is a big enough event that shit's getting blown up and people are going
to
die.
Right. It is... If its purpose is to flesh out the enemy more... Cool. Did it? I understand that now.
Mingala worked. For me, Sallow worked. These guys had a face suddenly.
Right, but there's no... there wasn't even any sort of hinting at anything else that could appear. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I missed something that they're going to try and tie in later on. Yeah, I didn't think it was bad as Drax. And because it had finality, I didn't feel that it built anything up. Like, I did feel like Silver Surfer has all... It's got me more intrigued about the series. Like, who are these mystery characters? Mm-hmm. Well, there is no mystery here. It was just a short about Super Skrull. And
almost like a fill-in.
And it ended.
Well, but by the same token, I remember when the Star Wars prequels were coming out. And for those first two movies, there were all those damn diehards who were like, it's building. It's building. You just have to give it time. And I understand the Annihilation miniseries is going to be good. I hope that it is. I hope that it's going to pay a lot of this stuff off. But I should be able to enjoy the journey more. And I do enjoy some of the books, but Silver Surfer was just stuff. Just a bunch of stuff. And at least this engaged me. At least there was a story here.
I mean, yeah. I just don't see it. I mean, like I said, like I agree with Mac here. It could have been its own series. It really has almost nothing to do with Annihilation except that they pop up in that, and that's it.
It's a redemption story that he dies in the end.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do.
It's just like, oh, well, They bypass the annihilation wave, go to their home, not even a home planet. They go to a prison planet to stop a weapon, and that's it. And so it felt really thrown in or shoot in there, because the other books, I mean, I agree that there was some problems with the Silver Surfer book, but at least it's giving you a taste of what's going to come, so you can actually connect to this. You wouldn't even have to put it in the trades. Like that, you would put with the trades. This, it's filler. So it was absolute filler for me.
The Marvel Superheroes podcast is in no way affiliated or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, but remain copyright their respective copyright holders. But of course, the views expressed are wholly owned by the people who spoke them. No infringement is intended.
You know, they had RoboCop Day in Detroit this past week.
That's the fucking saddest motherfucking thing I've ever heard.
Awesome.
Oh, no, it's not, dude. That's not
awesome.
Not
the new RoboCop, the original RoboCop.
It doesn't matter. He's not real. It's not even like Rocky where he was loosely based
on
somebody.
Real.
Dude. RoboCop that place is fucking bankrupt, and they built a goddamn statue to RoboCop. They spent public funds to build a goddamn RoboCop statue.
They built a museum to motor engines.
That's totally different. The motor, the engine revolutionized Earth and is real. RoboCop is a shitty movie from the 80s that I do like. But people are fucking dying. And people are dying in Detroit, and they built a goddamn statue to RoboCop.
Priorities at it.
And that's a podcast. Save it. No, replay, because I want to hear if I can actually hear myself.
Okay.
I couldn't hear myself.
Well, I just want to throw in, though, anything you've got as a tourist attraction, anything that'll actually bring somebody to the city and bring money into the city, may actually be worthwhile.
No! No! No. RoboCop Day? No.
But you said there's a statue.
And there's a statue.
People are going to go see
that's
the statue.
No,
but I believe people donated for that statue. It wasn't like, hey, let's take little Johnny's money for his breakfast, lunch, and dinner money and build a statue.
When you talk, your shit fucking goes ballistic.
Because I talk really fucking loud.
No, he's talking loud too, man. Look, I'm talking loud right now.
What?